Again, I welcome you to the Carolina Bible Group Bible Study Voice Room. The study today is going to be study number 54 in our series that we've entitled Paul's Foundations. And the date stamp for today is going to be August 25th, 2024. And the purpose of this study series, as I continue to say, is to investigate the various ministries of the Apostle Paul in order to better understand his foundational teachings through the various dispensations he was involved in. And Paul went through a lot of shifts and changes in his life and the message that God would to have him deliver from the time even that he was a Pharisee all the way up until the time where God chose him and him alone to reveal to the world the mystery concerning the body of Christ. So that's the whole point of this, is to look at these various ministries. What is Paul saying? Well, thank you, Tony. Yeah, I did forget about that, actually, and I'm trying to forget about it completely. But, yeah, I got me some hernia surgery coming up tomorrow. So, yeah, y'all remember me, too, if you would. I'm totally in the Lord's hands for whatever he's got in my future. So, yeah, I do. I do appreciate that. I just forgot, Tony. And but I do appreciate the thought there, brother. All these various dispensations that the Apostle Paul went through, you have to be able to rightly divide the Scripture and look at it in a dispensational way to really, I believe, have a full grasp and understanding of what's going on in the Scripture with regard to the will of the Lord. So that's the purpose of this whole study, just to look at the foundational teachings of Paul from dispensation to dispensation and compare them, see what happens between dispensations, and a lot of these facts that make a big difference and should make a big difference in the way we worship today and what our hope is, what our belief is, and what should be driving us. So that's what this is all about. Last week, we completed our initial review of Hebrews chapter 1. Now, we've already been through Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, which I'm kind of taking them in, trying to get a little chronological order going here, and not that, you know, I'm throwing out the order of the books that Paul wrote without question by any means, but I do know these books to be foundational. They're some of the earlier writings of the Apostle Paul in what I call the kingdom dispensation. The kingdom, of course, in preparation for the great and terrible day of the Lord that was to come, that was on the horizon. And they were at the time of the book of Acts and the time of the writing of these epistles I just mentioned, they were probably somewhere around 40 or 45 years away from those events. And so it was necessary that the Apostle Paul write these things to these folks so that they would understand. So we completed, as I said, our initial review of Hebrews chapter 1 by covering verses 4 through 14, where Paul makes his case to the Hebrews regarding the deity of Christ. The biggest problem, and the thing that always made the Israelites of the day, the so-called Jews of that time, during the time of the writing of this book and even before, the thing that got Christ in trouble the most was when he would say things like, "I and the Father are one," or "the Father hath sent me to do this or to say this." And this would infuriate the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they literally would say, "Well, you're putting yourself on equal with God." And to them, that was total and complete blasphemy. And because they did not recognize, nor did they understand exactly what was going on with Christ being who he said he was. So Paul, as he begins, Paul's entire argument to these people, the very first thing he has to do when he writes the book to, I believe, the Hebrews, is to try to prove to them, hey, this Christ you crucified, he was no angel. And that doesn't mean he was bad. That means that he was above the angels. Because to the Hebrews at that time, angels were a very real thing. We're going to get into that a little bit today. We're going to get into some of these relationships, I believe, between the Hebrew people and angels. Paul makes a statement later in the book of Hebrews, and I hadn't got there yet, that there had been some Israelites that at times had entertained angels as human beings, and they, unawares, Paul said, they didn't even realize they were doing it. So are you telling me that angels were a part of the everyday life of a lot of Hebrews back during this age? That's exactly what I'm saying. And Paul uses that as a teaching tool when he's going through this. Paul knows that the nation of Israel at least understood something about the angelic influence that God had provided them with. Angels were ministers to the nation of Israel. Now, our instructions regarding angels today is totally different. Why? Because we don't have any of the good ones around anymore. The angels are basically at this time in 2024. The angels of heaven are split into two camps. God's angels and Satan's angels. Satan's angels are called demons. They inhabit the earth. They are here with us as I speak. May be in this very room, and I hope they are. I hope they're listening to the Word of God. Because that's the only thing that you've got that has power over them. Amen. They are higher on the creation scale than we were. They are higher on the creation scale than we have ever been to this point until we understand the fruition of our hope in resurrection. Just like we're higher on the creation scale than a dog or a cat or a plant or an amoeba, we probably look like amoebas to the angelic host, if you think about it. The power they have to transcend time and space blows my mind. When God can send an angel from the superabounding heavens through the ice and through the blackness and emptiness of light years of space to take Daniel a message back in the Old Testament. That blows my mind at the ability of these creatures that God has created.
Well, you know, he gave Adam dominion, and that was a temporary thing.
Over the planet that they used to inhabit.
Yeah.
And that too is another, yeah, like a mind-blowing fact when you think about it.
But
this was their planet before it was our planet. Yeah. Yeah.
But then what he did with his son, though, the second Adam, was a kind of a foretelling of what was yet to come.
Oh, all the fulfillment of even the prophecies written in the stars.
Yes.
Psalms 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God. The glory of God, in part, is his plan for how he's reconciling his fallen creation back to himself.
Yeah.
And that plan centers in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. And it's that Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul was trying to get his people to see right here in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I didn't mean to get off into an angel study, but I want you to understand the way I think angels interacted with the nation of Israel. And a lot of times I don't think they realized it. They entertained them and didn't even know they were in the room. They look like a regular human to them, probably.
Well, you know, if you, if these people were the, I think it was the offshoot of those that traveled the 40 years in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the things that they entailed during that thing, like their clothes didn't wear out, you know, shoes didn't.
Yeah, manna from heaven. And a lot of,
all the things,
a lot of divine intervention.
All the things
yeah.
that was provided just showed up. And then the people still wouldn't. They wanted to go back.
And even at this point, when Paul writes about Christ, it's like, he's not an angel, y'all. He's above the angels. He's better than the angels.
Yes.
And he's ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father. To which of the angels has that ever happened, Paul said? None. The rhetorical answer, of course, is none, as we went over in chapter 1 last week.
Yes.
So that's is what we did last week in our complete of our initial review of Hebrews chapter 1, and we covered verses 4 through 14, of course, where I said, as Paul said, where as I said, that he made his case to the Hebrews regarding the deity of Christ. That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
Paul attempting to show the his own people, the ones that he said, I'd give up what Christ has done for me if they would just believe. I would consider myself accursed for Christ,
amen,
for my own people who are the Israelites,
amen,
Paul said.
Yes.
So that's what it's all about. So for today's study, I want to push on by looking at Paul's continued argument for the deity of Christ in Hebrews 2, because the first word in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, is one of Dad's favorite words, and it's therefore. So Paul says all these things in the first chapter of Hebrews concerning Christ and his deity, and ask all these questions in comparing Christ to the angels. And he makes his point, and then he says, therefore. And that's where, as Dad says, you got to stop and look and listen, and let's see, what's the point, Paul? Well, the point he's about to tell you. And we're only probably going to get through the first four verses or so this morning, but that's okay. That's okay, because I don't want you to miss anything here that Paul has to say. He makes a beautiful logical argument, as the Apostle Paul always does, for the deity, the godhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, which is still in question even today. Chico's study last Tuesday night was a really good one. I missed part of it. But you still get questions today about Christ being God. You have entire denominations that have millions of people associated with them that do not believe that Christ is God, that he's deity. They don't believe it. The Jehovah's Witnesses hold that Christ is he was a created being, just like Satan, that God created the Son, not begotten, but created. And that's simply not scriptural. Christ does not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Christ is the part of God that interacts with his creation for the ultimate redemption and reconciliation of his entire creation. Not just mankind, but all creation together. Because guess what? Paul said all this creation groans and travails in pain till now. In Romans. And that's at the end of the kingdom dispensation when he wrote that, over toward the end, before Acts 28:28. And even at that point, Paul said, this, everything God created groans and travails in pain. Why? Because it languishes in sinfulness. Sinfulness is apart from God, the separator between God and his creation. Is sin and rebellion. And guess who's leading the charge? Good old Lucifer is leading the charge over this. So, let's turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. And as I said, the first word in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, after Paul goes through all these things concerning angels, and let's just pick up at 1:13. Paul said, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Well, the answer is none. God never told an angel, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Never. To any angel did God say that. That's a quote from Psalms 110. He did say that, however, to the Son of God, the Lord Christ Jesus. He did say that to him in Psalms 110. He said in verse 14, he said, are they not all ministering spirits, talking about the angels, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? What? You mean there were hordes of angels that were sent forth? To my point earlier, ministering to those who should be the heirs of salvation, the nation of Israel was the chosen nation to be the heirs of salvation. Did you know that? I did. Because John 1:1 says he came, speaking of his flesh, he, Christ, came to his own, the Israelites, the nation of Israel, born of the tribe of Judah, through the lineage of King David, and his own received him not. Of course, John was written after, I believe, Acts 28:28, where that's a known fact. Where we are here in Hebrews, there's still a possibility. They haven't, as a nation, completely rejected Christ at this point, which is the whole reason Paul is writing the book. The whole reason Paul's putting it out there is so that they would believe that Christ was who he said he was. Paul said, therefore, or on account of what I've already said in chapter 1, listen to this very carefully. Therefore, because Paul's going to give you the answers here in chapter 2 to all the hypothetical to what angel did this or to what angel did that. He's going to give you the answers here in chapter 2. And he says in 2:1, therefore, or because of what I said, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Well, what had they heard? Man, they'd heard a lot by now. They had not only heard the words of the walking, talking, breathing human Son of God in the flesh while he was there with them on the earth, but they also heard the words, Paul says, of them that heard him, them that were with him, the disciples and apostles. And they went forth, as Paul is going to point out, with signs and miracles and wonders. And Paul says, Hebrews, we better be giving heed to the things that we've heard. Because they've heard a lot, and they were not believing it. We ought to give the more earnest heed, Paul says, to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. What does the word slip there mean? Slip is the Greek parorhueo. And it means to flow by, and I put like river water. Have you ever walked up to the edge of a creek or a river, and you toss a leaf or a fishing float in, you watch what happens? Down the creek it goes, because the water's flowing, it's moving. The same water you're looking at right now is going to be somewhere down the river, down the creek in just a few minutes. It's almost like watching time go by. I love thinking about that whenever I go to the river, that, you know, the water that's here is not the water that was here a little while ago. It's all headed somewhere. It's all going somewhere. And that's what this slip means, to flow away. Paul said, we got to give heed to the things that we've heard, lest they just float right on by us and we don't get it. You got to be listening and watching what's here right now, Paul says. Because if you don't, it's going to float by like the water of a river. Slip. Parorhueo. probably mispronounced it. The following verses that we're going to read, these verses here in chapter 2, make up basically the answers to his questions and the points that he made in chapter 1. And that's what we're beginning in here. Paul said we got to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we let them flow away. Verse 2. For, listen to this. For if the word spoken through angels, it says by angels, let me tell you something about angels. The angels of God, the good ones, we'll call the righteous angels, God's angels. They're all God's angels, but Satan has apprehended a few for his own uses. But the word spoken by angels, that word by there should be through. It's dia in the Greek. It should be through angels. Angels from God do not speak their own mind. They are messengers of God. And they speak and bring only what God would have them to say. They do not make up their own doctrine or make up their own statement to tell to whoever they are sent to. So it should read, for if the word spoken through angels was steadfast or unmovable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. What? Wait a minute. What are you saying, Paul? Well, he says if the word spoken by or through angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a great recompense, a just recompense of reward. Are you telling me, Paul, that in this Acts period dispensation, when Paul was writing this, I believe there's a possibility that the angels were literally watching everything that went on? I don't know how many God had on the earth throughout the nation of Israel at that time, but they were being justly recompensed for acts of sinfulness and disobedience. They may have not even realized it was happening. They may have done something to somebody else, and then a little while later, something happens to them. The just recompense, Paul calls it. Have you ever wondered about that? And he uses this as an example. I call it God's balance. I believe this is another example within the nation of Israel of how God balances things out.
Well, I think, I think it's his, part of his judgment.
Well, he connects it to the angels.
Yeah.
As if they're meeting out this recompense as watchers.
Well,
maybe they were, Paul said, hey, there's some in your house, could be in your house, and you may have entertained them and you don't even know it.
Well, we now understand, because we have revelations, we have seen what John saw.
Yeah.
Part of it.
Right.
Okay, and so part of that was a just recompense or a payback for what was going on. It was a payback.
Oh, the whole revelation of John is all about Christ himself as the righteous judge coming on the horse and meeting out judgment as it's fit.
Right.
That's the, and for a lot of folks, that's not a good thing.
Well,
that means death and destruction and judgment. I mean, big time.
For these young people here that Paul was talking to, over a million of them, evidently, it was coming down the road, and when people saw them coming down the road, they thought, my God, what's happening?
Yeah.
But their folks were the earth opened up and swallowed many of them.
A lot of them, back in numbers.
In the day.
Yeah.
And
they got their just recompense of reward right there and on the spot.
Yeah, and
for their disbelief.
Paul is telling these people, well, you know, you've heard and seen a lot of this stuff. What's going on?
So what was really going on with these angels during the X period? I think we need to revisit a lot of what we think we know about day-to-day life during the X period. Because, man, if remember, we've already talked about the works that people did for the believers during this time was under high scrutiny. Guess who might have been watching them? And if you sinned, the recompense might have come quickly.
Well, whenever they murmured, it was probably pretty immediate.
At least back in the Old Testament, yeah. And I'm not so sure that during the X period there wasn't some things happening that might have been pretty immediate as well.
Yeah.
Could have been.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all I'm saying. Paul connects the word spoken through angels. When they come to deliver word, and that was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, he goes on to say, how shall we escape? So back in the day when the angels acted, it was the just recompense of reward.
Yeah, it was.
Like you said, earth opened up and swallowed them.
Oh, yeah.
They were buried alive.
There was no more hope for them.
They were gone.
Yeah.
Judgment had already overtaken them.
Yeah.
They received their just, as it's called in the scripture here, the just recompense of the reward.
Yeah.
So Paul said, how shall we escape? Remember in verse 3.
Well, he was issuing that to these people, these young people that survived. Well, maybe their parents,
well, all the way down,
maybe their parents and grandparents didn't survive.
All the way down to the book of Acts. Yeah, all the way to the time of the writing of the book of Hebrews.
Well, you know, so I think Paul understood that he had got enough at this point, that he had got enough to where he could say, okay, it's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen until the Lord straightens everything out.
Because that's how God was dealing with mankind up until a certain point.
Yeah.
And that certain point is Acts 28.
Yeah.
How shall we escape, he says, verse 3. Well, before I get out of verse 2, I got some notes here I wanted to bring forth. But note that word spoken through angels in verse 2, that wasn't the angels' idea. That was God's word. They were messengers for him. They are messengers only.
Yeah.
The holy angels are only messengers. It's only the demons that try to deceive and lie and make up stuff. It's only the demonic angels among us that do those kind of things. And then about the just reward. How far did that go? Did that stop with the Old Testament? Or did it just carry right on through until the present day where Paul's writing? I don't know. But I know he did tell them later in this same book, hey, some of you have entertained angels and you didn't even know it. So that's my case for that. Verse 3, how shall we escape, Paul says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and they got what they deserved, how shall we escape, neglecting so great salvation? The first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. What salvation began to be spoken by the Lord? Well, it was the salvation from the judgment to come of the kingdom hope. That instead of enduring the Lord's day, the great and terrible foretold day of the Lord in the Old Testament, hey, there's an escape from that. You can, even if you die, be resurrected and take part in a heavenly city that is going to come down from God out of heaven with the names of the 12 tribes inscribed on the various foundations. The names of the tribes, the names of the apostles are on the foundations, which is symbolic. And the names of the tribes, I believe, are above the gates. I'm acting from memory here, which oftentimes ain't so good. How can we escape, Paul says, if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Well, we know, what did the Lord speak when he opened his mouth and began to teach? You can read about that, I believe, in Matthew 4. And he opened his mouth and he said what? Repent to Israel, for the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is here. How can he say that? Well, he could say that because he was the king of the kingdom of heaven. They were standing before the king of the kingdom of heaven. And he told them to repent. The kingdom is here. It's all over us. It's right here with us. Because the king is in your presence. Well, you can't have a kingdom without a king. Well, guess what? Lord Jesus Christ took care of that problem. Because he stood in their midst as their king, and this nation would not see it. They would not have it. Because he didn't represent what they thought a king should look like, or act like, or be like. He was humble. He was loving. He was wise and instructive. They were looking for a mighty warrior king on a horse to deliver them from Rome and all the other oppressors. And they missed, as Paul says, I think it was Paul, said they missed the day of their salvation. They missed it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? And we know where that was, Matthew 4. And was confirmed unto us, Paul includes himself in that, by them that heard him. The apostles and believers that heard Christ and believed him during his earthly ministry carried right on over into the book of Acts. Luke says the former treatise that I wrote, O Theophilus, when he wrote Acts, talking about his Gospel of Luke, it is a continuous story of the time from the before the Lord's birth, all the things that he done, as a child and as an adult, all of his teachings, all of his parables, his death, his burial, his resurrection are all recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And then Luke picks right up with the first chapter of the book of Acts. It says, the former book, O Theophilus, have I written of all the things that Christ both began to do and teach. And here's the continuation of the story, Luke says. And we have the book of Acts as a result. Thank God for it. Thank God for the book of Acts. Because how confused would we be if we did not know the story of them that heard him. The Acts of the Apostles is what the whole book is all about. The things they did, the things they said, the people they interacted with, the miracles that they performed, and the doctrine they put forth. But guess what? Even this has to be rightly divided. Just let the word speak by rightly dividing it, and you'll be okay. You'll understand. You will get it. How shall we escape, Paul said, more than that time, neglecting so great salvation? Yes, there's salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul wrote this, there was not salvation according to the Gospel of John. it hadn't been put forth yet. The whosoever will had not been put forth yet. This is still to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. But here in the book of Hebrews, even more than normal, it's to the Jew, the Hebrew, I believe. Now, you can agree with that or disagree with that, but that's my rightly divided synopsis of the book of Hebrews. How do we escape if we neglect or neglecting so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? And this proves, I got a note here on verse 3. Oh, and incidentally, the word escape is the Greek word exphlego. It means to flee out or to get away. Paul says, how shall we escape? Escape what? What is there to escape from? Your brain, as you read these scriptures, should be asking these questions, because it's these questions that are going to bring you full circle and edify you with more understanding or more yearn to look. The word escape means to flee out or to get away. Escape what? Well, here's the answer. The judgment of the Lord's day. He's basically telling them, how are we going to escape the judgment of the Lord's day if we neglect so great a salvation as this Christ Jesus? Because neglecting that was not going to be good for them. With what God had on his timetable plan for A.D. 85 and the return of the Lord to the earth on the horse, it's not going to be good. It's not a good day. It'll be a bad day. You don't believe me? Read the Old Testament prophecies. Joel, Zechariah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Zephaniah. Read these Old Testament prophecies. Do a little study on the great and terrible day of the Lord, or just the day of the Lord, or the Lord's day. These preachers stand in the pulpits. Oh, I wish the Lord would come back today. Got no clue what they're saying. No clue. For anybody who is not ready, you do not want to pray that prayer. I promise you. It's not going to be a good day. It's a bad day. That's why it's called great and terrible. A lot of terribleness. To kind of use a Trump term there. He kind of takes words and changes them around a little bit. Well, it's a terribleness day, if you want to get right down to it. Not a good day. How do we escape the judgment of the Lord's day? And I believe verse 3 is a very special verse. Verse 3 proves to me that the Acts period doctrine was a, listen to this, was a continuation of the Lord's ministry to Israel while he was in the flesh. It's just the continuation of the kingdom message by them that heard him. Instead of the Lord standing there and telling them about the kingdom, it's the apostles telling them about the kingdom. And guess what? They have more power to do more things than Christ did when he was on the earth. Remember, he said, greater things shall you do in my name? Well, they certainly did. The Apostle Paul could touch a handkerchief. I want you to think about this. The Apostle Paul could take a regular old cloth handkerchief, piece of cloth, and touch it, and have somebody take it to somebody else, and they could touch that cloth and be healed.
The shadow of Peter
passing by,
somebody laying on the ground waiting for healing could heal them.
Tell me how many cameras would be around somebody that could do that today. Well, they wouldn't be around long because our crooked government would scoop them up and dissect them and try to figure out what's wrong with them. Tell me how long you could get by being able to do that today. It's crazy. And these people were looked at very strangely back in the day, but the ability of the Acts period Jew to be willingly ignorant, as Peter says, of the things that they saw, never ceased to amaze me. People have an innate ability to ignore facts and to ignore what their lying eyes are showing them. And never was that so obvious as it was during the book of Acts. How could you watch Peter heal a man that had been obviously lame for 38 years laying in front of that pool, or the Lord healed him? I mean, how could the Pharisees watch the Lord heal somebody like that and come by and worry about him picking up his bed on the Sabbath? Tell me how willingly ignorant you have to be of what just happened to act that way. That is a block that's put in people's brain by the prince of the age, I believe. That is the blindness of Satan in people's minds to keep them from seeing things.
Amen.
That's the only way I know to say it. It's all I know to be able to put it. Blindness. The Lord's teaching was confirmed, as Paul says in verse 3, unto us by them that heard him, the apostles, Peter, James, and John, all the others. Verse 4, here's what I was talking about. God also bearing witness with signs and wonders and with divers or various miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So and then you see a question mark after the word will there. Whose will? Well, that's the end of the question. The question is literally three verses long from verse 2 to verse 4. 2, 3, and 4 make up the question. Paul says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. That's the question. How are we going to make it if we neglect this, Paul says? And guess who was neglecting it? All these unbelieving Jews of the day. They were something. It wasn't the Gentiles that were a problem to the apostles and them that heard him. It was the unbelieving Jews that continually stirred up the stinks, continually created havoc because of their willing ignorance of what had stood right before them and their willing ignorance of the signs, miracles, and wonders and the workings of the Holy Ghost that was being played out right before their eyes. And guess what? Many of them, as it says, all the way down to Acts 28:28, it says they gave Paul a day. And he expounded unto them Christ Jesus, both out of the law and the prophets, from morning till night. And some believed the things which the apostles said, and some still believe not.
No, and the ones that didn't believe went back to try to get the ones that did believe.
They were the problem. You're exactly right.
Amen.
They were the problem. Some believed. And some believe not. And eventually that brought the nation of Israel and the whole plan of God concerning AD 85 and the Lord's Day to an incredible screeching halt.
Not my people.
And he once again proclaimed, see and you don't see. Hear and you don't hear. be it known unto you that the salvation of God will be sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And he unplugged the clock for the nation of Israel. Bad place to stop, but we'll stop there with verse 4 today. I really enjoyed this. Man, these verses really got me fired up today for whatever reason. I love Paul's arguments. I love the way he makes them. I love the passion that he puts in them. And I love the substance that he puts in his arguments. Because let me tell you, when the Apostle Paul was trying to tell you something, you needed to stop, look, and listen. And that's exactly what he said in verse 2. First word of chapter 2, verse 1. Is please stop, look, and listen to me. Trying to make his case before the Hebrew people. Bow your heads and let's close and we'll get ready for study number 2 today. Father, again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for those that are here with us in our presence. And Father, we thank you for those that have joined us online. Our prayer is that they would take the words that they heard today, and Father, not take our word, but that they would study to show themselves approved. And Father, try the things that differ with the Scripture to see if these things be so. Father, again, be with those that I mentioned and that we continually pray for on our prayer list. Father, we ask that you would be with all those that need a touch from you and that you would bless them and keep them according to your will and purpose that you purposed in Christ Jesus, Father, before even creation was, for it's in his name today that we do humbly pray. Amen.